Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Pleased to have on the phone with me now a former Secret Service agent and security expert, Gerald Blaine, who is the author of a book called The Kennedy Detail. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Now, you're in town speaking at MSU today about this book. You were not in Dallas at the assassination of President Kennedy, but you have talked with the agents who were, and wanted to know how this book came about and what was behind it.
Well, as far as the assassination goes, we wanted to set the record straight. Unfortunately, over the years, many conspiracy theories have started in. There's been a great deal of distortion related to the Kennedy administration and the events leading up to the assassination and the events following it. The agents decided that it was time to break our silence and to discuss exactly what happened in Dallas.
Well, and what hints can you give us from the book about what did exactly happen in Dallas?
Well, the conclusions that we came up with and the evidence that we have provided is that President Kennedy was killed by a lone gunman who fired three shots from the sixth floor of the book depository, and it was Lee Harvey Oswald. And unfortunately, all of these various theories have established a situation where 82% of the young people between 19 and 29 years of age believe that Kennedy's assassination was a conspiracy. And the unfortunate thing about a conspiracy talk is that you have to have an enemy to blame it on. They blame the CIA, the FBI, President Johnson, Cuba, Russia, organized crime, left wing, right wing. And the end result of this is that youth does not trust government. And you can tell that in our government today. There's not the patriotic interest that we had when we were young.
Well, and I wonder when you talk about the conspiracy theory, and you spoke about that some accused the agents on the detail or were looking at them. I can't imagine when your job is to take a bullet for the president and his family, being accused of being a part of an attempt like that would shake you to your core and make you angry.
Well, it was very difficult. You know, there are not many jobs in the world where you can be 100% failure. The agents on the Kennedy detail were like brothers. We had no technology. We had to know and understand the very soul of every one of the individuals who were protecting the president. We used hand signals. We had no computers. We had photographs of individuals or suspects that we had to memorize. And we wore those sunglasses as such to hide our eyes so that if we saw a suspect, we could notify the others and they would be aware that there was somebody in the crowd.
What did you look for? That's something we always think of. We know kind of the uniform, quote unquote, of a Secret Service agent. You know, the dark suit, the sunglasses. You know, when you're in a crowd in a situation like that, what is it that you're looking for? What piques your interest?
You know, over a period of time, you sense it. We did a lot of training at St. Elizabeth's, the mental hospital in Washington, D.C. We watched psychiatrists interview people who had the problems linked to that, associated with it, and we could watch the mannerisms and so forth. And believe it or not, you could just sense it in the crowd, and we did that. The unfortunate thing during the Kennedy years, I started with President Eisenhower, who was not an individual who would really barge into crowds and shake hands. Well, President Kennedy, when he was elected, he was charismatic. He had television. He had a young family, a beautiful wife, and the people just adored him. And that was his political style, was to get in, to shake hands, to ride in an open-top car, and be available to the people. And unfortunately, that was an error in Dallas.
Now, what when you look back at this book and in the writing of it, part of the book it talks about the operations of the Secret Service agents in the 60s, and you kind of just alluded to that, how technology has changed so much, and you're just working off of a gut instinct and a trained mind at that point, aren't you?
Well, very much so. I left the Secret Service in 1964 and went to work for IBM. I learned to be a systems engineer and worked on law enforcement systems, designed the FBI National Crime Information Center, mobile terminals, fingerprint scanners, all technologies that we did not have. And I felt maybe that would resolve the problem.
The book, as you talked about, comes from the perspective of the agents on the detail at the time there in Dallas. And the other gentleman working with you today and speaking with you today is Agent Clint Hill. And he, of course, will be forever remembered as the Secret Service agent who boarded the presidential Lincoln, jumped on the back of the Lincoln to cover the president and the first lady while they were on their way to Parkland Hospital. Telling their stories, was that freeing for them, do you believe, to finally have their sides of the stories out and what actually happened?
It absolutely did. After the assassination, we had no trauma counseling. In fact, we never discussed the assassination with each other. It was something that you had to bite the bullet and go about protecting a new president. And let me give you an example of what's changed. Today, the Secret Service has 3,700 agents and an annual budget of $1.6 billion. We had 34 agents on the White House detail. There were never more than five agents with the president any one time. And so we did not have the resources. We didn't, you know, there were windows open in Dallas. People were hanging out, but there was no air conditioning. So you couldn't have the windows closed. And we didn't have the resources to do that. We were just ill-equipped.
Well, and when you talk about some things like this, the no technology that we have today and people hanging out windows because there wasn't air conditioning, all of those things need to be taken into account when we talk about what happened that day. I mean, it was a different time.
Well, that's right. But we point out today there's still vulnerabilities, even with all the resources they have. And what we do, we talk to all of the current agents and explain to them that you have to accept the fact that you're never going to be 100%, that somewhere along the way there's a possibility of somebody getting to the president, and you have to learn to deal with that.
Well, sir, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm honored to talk to you, frankly. And the book, I'm going to have to get a hold of the book called The Kennedy Detail. Former Secret Service agent Gerald Blaine is in town today with Agent Clint Hill, former Secret Service agent Clint Hill. Sir, thank you for your time, and I'm sure it's a good read, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye-bye.
We've been speaking with former Secret Service agent Gerald Blaine, author of The Kennedy Detail. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.